Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is about something that lights your fire when nothing else will.
This is the Mark Divine Show. This show, we're going to discover and dive in and discuss what makes the world's most inspirational, compassionate, and resilient leaders so courageous.
Transform the nature and functioning of our own brain for the better.
Go put your virtues in action. Be the best version of yourself.
Life is a practice. Day by day, get wiser and stronger and grow.
How do you understand enough about your own mind and psychology and emotions, and how you develop a reflective awareness practice to actually get in the driver's seat of your own mind?
We go in-depth with people from all walks of life. Martial arts grandmasters, meditative monks, CEOs, military leaders, stoic philosophers, proud survivors, and more. Every episode turns our guests' experience into actionable insights that you can learn from to lead a life filled with compassion and courage.
I started putting all these little tools in my pocket, started to reflect a lot and meditate.
There has to be a balance between movement and rest.
It all starts with us. We cultivate these qualities in ourselves to become a beacon of light for others in the world. Please join us on the journey. The Mark Divine Show, hoo-yah.
All right, this show brought to you in part by SimpliSafe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about break-ins ever again. Just go to simplisafe.com/Adam, get all the sensors you need, all the help you need as well to set it up. Custom systems going to show up post-haste at simplisafe.com/Adam.
Well, in the first half, comedian Chris DiStefano and fighter extraordinaire Canelo Alvarez will be joining us as well as Real Housewife Jill Zarin. That's all in the first half. First, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guests today, comedian Chris DiStefano, and undisputed super middleweight champion boxer Canelo Alvarez, with Jill Zarin filling in on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, he's blowing off his Mother's Day visit because his biorhythm wheel said it's going to be an extra critical day and turnabout is fair play. Adam Carolla.
Get it on. Got to get on the church. We're going to mend it. Get it on. Welcome to the show. We are locked and loaded for bear. Chris DiStefano is here. Jill Zarin is here. Canelo Alvarez is going to be chiming in about 15 minutes. We'll talk to him. He's got a big fight, big championship fight coming up. Good to see you again, Chris.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for having me.
And good to see you, Jill, again.
So good to be here, Adam.
So you're going
to
be doing the news.
I am.
And Real Housewives in New York is where we know you from. But it's been a little while, but you pop up now and again on the program.
I do, but yesterday they dropped the trailer for the new, the second season of The Ultimate Girls Trip, which is me with seven other girls locked up in Bluestone Manor in the Berkshires for a week in last September.
My wife likes that show.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be a good show.
She enjoys the girl trip, the sort of all-star reunion.
The all-star.
The all-star.
So that's going to be on, I think, June 23rd it starts. So that's exciting.
It's fun watching middle-aged women fight, I think, is what the attraction is. So I think what happens with that show is the ladies watch it, and then the guys, and I can speak for me and Brian, we wandered in the room, and then we go, what the fuck is this? And then we sit down.
Shut off the TV.
We sit on the edge of the bed. And then we go, at a certain point, we go, there's got to be something on Discovery Channel. There's got to be something on
Nat Geo
or something. And then at some point, we go, God, the Countess is such a cunt. What is she doing? No, you don't talk to people that way. Now we're in.
I know.
And that's how it
sucks you in. There's a lot of men who watch the show, straight men who watch the show.
I know. You're looking at two of them. Possibly three.
I would watch the show. I just don't. I got little kids, so they hog the TV, and then I fall asleep to usually SportsCenter or Investigation Discovery.
Investigate.
I'm jealous of anyone who falls asleep in front of the TV set.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't do that?
You need quiet?
It's like people who can sleep on a plane. They're the same person. They can just fall asleep places. But I'm ultra jealous at the person who can fall asleep in front of the TV while still holding the remote in the air.
That's my mean grandma.
That's me.
That mean grandma.
If you can fall asleep with your arm extended.
I can.
Essentially doing an iron cross.
No. How about I have my cell phone in my hand and I fall asleep with the TV on and my phone in the middle of a text. I will fall asleep.
Does that mean you're very centered and relaxed or super high and out of it?
No, I'm tired. Because I get up so early. I play tennis 2 hours a day. I played today.
Two hours?
Yeah.
Wow.
I went to Kathy Hilton's house. I used a tennis court.
Oh, really?
Didn't even say hi. I just texted her, can I use your court? No, nothing bad. I said, can I use your court? Let me in the gates. We went and played and we left.
You have to be a super bitch to go, no, you can't use my court. I prefer it be unmanned.
Pristine. Yeah.
I like looking out at my villa and seeing an empty court.
I know. So I'm very tired at night. So I just literally fall asleep at like 9 o'clock with my phone in my hand usually.
I used to get so jealous of Dr. Drew because I was always the person at night that was pacing around and drinking the red wine and trying to knock myself down. And
Used to be?
Yeah. Well, no, because I drink scotch now.
Okay, right. Carry on.
But I was always, and I was that way when I was a kid. I just, sort of tossing and turning. And when I used to talk to Dr. Drew and I did Loveline, and we did the radio show, syndicated radio show, out of Culver City, California. He lived in Pasadena. The show ended 12:01 every night. And it took him 23 minutes to get back to Pasadena and maybe another 2 or 3 minutes to get undressed and in his bed. He would tell me, I'm asleep before 12:30 every single night. And I'm like, that means you are falling asleep as you're climbing into bed.
As you're driving home.
Yes, I am. And I would go, even when I had to do Howard Stern at 3 a.m. in the morning because it was 6 New York time and I got back to my house at 12:30 at night, I would still watch an hour worth of TV before I went to bed.
Just couldn't wind down.
People say to me all the time, just go to bed when you get home. And I go, where do you work? And they go,
No, I turn the TV on. But like last night, I came back from dinner and I'm in LA, so I'm on New York time, so I'm tired earlier. But I turned the TV on 15 minutes later, I was asleep.
But not watching Real Housewives.
No, I was watching
you'd stay
Ozark.
Up for that shit.
Ozark.
Fell asleep during Ozark?
I know. I'm so upset I have to go back and watch it now because I missed the whole episode. I did. I fell asleep 15 minutes in.
Yeah, there's no, like, people who work a 9-to-5 job who get home at 6, I would say to them, well, then try to go to bed at 6:30.
Yeah.
And they'd go, that's insane. And I'd go, that's the same as me coming home at 12:30 and going to bed at 12:35. So is everyone out? Chris, are you from New York?
I'm from New York, yeah. I'm from Brooklyn, but I live on Staten Island now. I moved. I went over that bridge.
Moving on up? Question mark.
Is that
an upward move? I don't know the area.
Because in Staten Island you can have a house with like a backyard and stuff. And again, I got kids. All my peers. All the comics in their 20s and 30s. They're all like, like really hard. Like they go, you know, liberal and, you know, nobody wants to have kids and all that. And I'm like, listen, whatever you guys want to do, I'm all about, like, I live in the middle. I'm not like liberal or conservative. Really, I was like, I don't need people like throwing Molotov cocktails through my apartment building. So I was like, I went over that damn bridge where most people are like Republican, and we just feel a little bit safer.
The mafia on the island has no effect on it, though, because, you know, half of Staten Island is, you know,
well,
mafia.
Here's the interesting thing about the mafia, though, is
they
because
protect where they live.
Well, that, but it was, you know, a lot of people. The mafia was, you know, like everybody knew, like not really around anymore and whatever. But because of like how lax the NYPD has been the last couple of years, the mafia is like back. Like,
really?
My father, who, you know, when he comes to visit, he lives in Florida now, but he grew up, you know, he was in the 80s, 90s, always running around with those guys. And he would tell me, like, I remember in the early 2000s, he's like, it's all over, the mafia. Giuliani and the mafia is over.
Well,
and
watch.
Now even he's like, all these guys that were in prison are out now.
We're back, baby.
Because of COVID stuff. And they're all starting to do the same things. Maybe now it's more digital or maybe, but
right.
All these
cyber
little
crime.
Cash things. And, you know, somebody just got arrested. It was in the paper. Somebody just got arrested for racketeering, which is like you don't hear, but you haven't heard about that in a while. You know, when they, the protection rackets, all that stuff. I was like, wow, it's coming back little
nice.
By little. So it's kind of, you know,
nostalgic.
It's actually not, it's honestly. You feel safe when those guys are around.
Listen, I loved Mob Wives. Mob Wives was like the Real Housewives of Mob Wives. It was a great show. And that was on Staten Island.
Yeah, I think all we want out of our criminals is consistency.
That's all I want.
So the worst criminals are the punch that guy in the subway and pushed him onto the tracks, never knew the person. I think we can all kind of wrap our heads around this guy's a business. They are the mafia. They extract.
Pay.
They get money from their business.
Yeah.
And then we kind of – you know what it's like? It's like killers versus serial killers. And there's a couple strata of serial killer.
Uh-huh.
So there's the wife that puts the hit on the husband trying to collect the insurance, and we all say, that's between them.
Yeah,
nah, I'm staying out of this. And then there's the serial killer who's scarier, except for they're preying on runaway prostitutes. And you go, well, I'm not a prostitute, so I'm cool. And then there's the scariest strata, which is I'm just killing randomly whomever or punching you walking down the sidewalk.
That's
and
a
then,
scary one.
Then that's – well, that could be me.
Going to Lover's Lane.
And that's why we sort of wax nostalgic for the mob because –
Yeah, principled.
Yes, you need an agreement with them.
So of all the movies, which is your favorite of that era of those mob, you know, movies like Casino or
Goodfellas. I will say this. It started off as Goodfellas with Casino kind of below it. But the more you watch Casino, the more you get into Casino.
And Godfather.
You know
and
which
Godfather.
One – all those are the big ones. But you know which one I think is a sleeper, which is a phenomenal movie? Bronx Tale.
Oh
yeah.
Bronx Tale with Chaz
Palminteri.
That one, if you just watched – I watched him do – he does a one-man show where he like – you know, I think it's the exact show that Robert De Niro bought in whatever, 1990 to eventually make Bronx Tale. And he still does that same show, like with just him in a chair. And I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. He's like in his 70s now, just ripping through these lines, like
God
crushing
bless.
All the famous lines from the movie. He wrote it all.
Put him on the map.
Yeah,
the shades of Stallone, you know, with Rocky. Like, you can have Rocky, but I got to play Rocky. And it made his career. Same with Palminteri. Like, he was like, yeah, De Niro, you can have this, but I'm going to play the guy. And,
yeah, he was.
Which
he said
the De Niro role in most movies.
Yeah, after the show, he said, like, the story of it. And he was pretty adamant. Like, everybody wanted to buy that show from him in the 90s, but they wanted somebody else to play his main character, Pacino or whomever. De Niro was the only one that was like, you can play the main lead. You can be Sonny, but I'll direct it and whatever. And that, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, but that movie, I think it holds up with the other ones, with Goodfellas
and
Casino.
Today, I don't think with the way everything's so woke that we could ever have a good movie like that again. I was watching on the way out here on the plane the first episode of The Sopranos, watching it, and I was watching it like horrified that I know that there's no way they could say those things today. And how sad that is, that you can't even act and say those things. I just think it would fly.
Did we have a Sopranos movie last year?
Yeah, the Many Saints of Newark, right?
Well, but no, you had it. Thank you, Brian. But we didn't have the. But they weren't they could have been thinking about what they're saying, is what I guess Jill's saying.
Right.
It's not. I don't think it's that you can't have certain things. You can't have the version of it pre woke.
The irony is, the problem was fairly woke.
If you get a chance, watch it and then comment on it, because you'll be surprised. we all don't really remember it. It was so long ago. It was 22 years ago. They didn't have cell phones. He was running to the phone booth to call Tony. I mean, that's how long ago it was.
I miss all movies with phone booths.
I know.
And because when you got bad news, you could slam the phone. God damn it.
And I mean, break it.
De Niro pushed the whole phone booth over in Goodfellas.
Right.
You can't do that with your iPhone. You'll fuck it up.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Chris, you were fired from Netflix for making a joke many years ago, and ironically back on Netflix with your very funny special.
Yes,
but I'm curious what that story was about.
So I, when I got fired from Netflix, it was 2016. It was actually a weird time. It was like a time for comedy when everything changed rapidly. So I was hosting this show for Netflix called The Ultimate Beastmaster. And it was like an international competition, like American Ninja Warrior type show. But, you know, it was the Netflix version. So I was one of the co-hosts of the USA team, and all these other countries had teams. And we did it in like mid-2016. And all the jokes that Netflix approved were all good, signed off by the executives. And then in November of 2016, when Trump gets elected, there were like those 2-3 months of like chaos where cancel culture like really took off then, like everything started to swing. And that's when the show came out. So the jokes that were okay just a few months before were like never would have been cleared, but the show was coming out. And I remember thinking back, I was like, I'm gonna get fired as soon as the show comes out. Like, this is, they're gonna. And then as soon as it came out, the tweets were like endless from people, because the one that they were mad at was Netflix was like, hey, you can improv a little bit, because they kept making me stick to a script. So when you fell off the obstacle course into the water, they called that the beast blood. And that's what I had to say for weeks. Oh, you're eliminated, fell into the beast blood. And they're like, oh, give us another take. So the Chinese team was going, and their best competitor, his name was Bin Feng, and he fell off the obstacle course into the water. And I go, there goes Bin Feng into the duck sauce. And
why is
that good?
I got fired.
It's a good joke.
I got fired for it. They were like, no. And then I was calling some other kid from India. His name was Rishi Patel. I was calling him Rishi's Peanut Butter Cups. And they were like, no, fired.
I don't even get why it's not.
People were calling me a nationalist. I mean, it was the
why it's funny or why it's offended.
Why is it offensive, peanut butter cups? I don't get it.
I don't know. You know what?
And the I don't even get it.
But here's,
I never get
but
jokes.
Here's the irony, like everything else.
That's why is you're here.
The duck sauce bit, when it came out, Bin Feng, the actual person, retweeted
name.
The clip of me saying, there goes Bin Feng into the duck sauce. I
he
got fired by
funny.
Some like woke, fat white woman, Barbara, who was like all nervous. She was like, we have to let you
I
go.
Hope Barbara's been fired now.
I'm sure she's probably dead.
Yeah, COVID probably got her.
I guarantee you, dude, the amount of duck sauce she used to eat was insane.
But this is what's so unfair, because it reminds me of Juliana Rancic and when she got fired. I don't even remember what it was about, but I know that whatever she said were not her words. It was scripted, and it was approved by the network.
Was she a Celebrity Apprentice, or is that her husband?
Husband won the first Apprentice, and she's on E. She was on E as a host, and she was hosting Fashion Police.
Mm-hmm.
And she said something about patchouli or something like that. I don't even know what that means.
I don't remember.
It was something like – but whatever it was, whatever she said was, like you said, scripted and approved by the network. And then she delivered it, and everyone blamed her, and she got fired and canceled. And I don't think that's fair. If the network approves everything you say and they deliver it, for them to like wash their hands and say, oh, no, we didn't know anything, is not fair.
Well, now, you know, I get fired from that, and now I have my comedy special on Netflix, because now all of a sudden just my life circumstances have put me – now it doesn't matter what I say, because my actual life circumstances are, you know, woke enough. I have Puerto Rican girlfriend, 2 Puerto Rican kids – a transgender nanny that's my girlfriend's uncle he was in prison for 20 years.
Does your wife know all about this?
Yeah. Nice. So it's like
life.
All these circumstances of my life now are like all diversity and inclusion and all that. And I'm like, yeah, this is just my life. Mm. You know, so now all of a sudden these networks are like, oh, you have an interesting story. I'm like, I thought it was the duck sauce guy 5 years ago that you hated. You know,
well,
it's all bullshit.
Yeah, well, first things first, all jokes should just be null and void in the fireable offenses. It's just a joke. It's
I
a
think
joke
comedians
by nature.
Have to be excluded. Otherwise, there will never be a joke.
I agree.
Again.
And number one or number two, we can't simultaneously not stop talking about an honest dialogue. You know, we want to have an honest dialogue about race. We have an honest dialogue about the transgenders. Everything's an honest dialogue. And then there's a bunch of daytime shows with a bunch of yentas sitting around called The Talk or The Opinion or The Think or The Us. And they go, oh, we're just going to talk and it's going to be freewheeling and fast moving and stuff like that.
Yeah, and then when they say something, they get canceled.
They get shit canned. You can't simultaneously have this free and open forum to discuss everything extemporaneously and then fire everyone because they tripped over a word or made some comment.
And what
comment.
Happened to, like, this zero tolerance? Why is there zero tolerance for people and for children? You know, under 18, I believe that kids are allowed to make mistakes. I mean, adults are allowed to make mistakes, but kids really have to make mistakes. And they have zero tolerance in these schools for anything that they do.
I do not like the term zero tolerance. I disagree with it 100%.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't even like it.
I don't even like smoke-free environments. I like some smoke and some tolerance.
Yeah, why not?
I don't. And the people, and also they announce, like, this is a gun-free zone until someone brings a gun and starts shooting everyone. Right. But it's nice that you made the proclamation and let the guy with the gun know no one's firing back.
No, gun-free zone says to me, oh, guns. I would never have even thought.
Yeah, now I'm going to start packing heat.
Planning the idea.
Mm-hmm. Where do you live, Jill?
Today.
Yeah, today over at the Hilton's house.
At the Hilton's house. I am in Manhattan, and I'm in the Hamptons. I'm in Florida.
How's Manhattan these days?
It's great. It's getting a bad rap.
It really is.
It's getting a bad rap. New York is great. It's back. It's booming. And like you said, one bad apple, one guy in a subway, a random act of violence, which could have been anywhere from this very demented guy in Brooklyn. You know about this man went and shot up people in the subway. It's every New Yorker's nightmare, every city that has a subway nightmare. It hasn't happened in 20 years, and there's no reason to think it'll happen again in 20 years. It was a random act of violence.
You feel safe walking down up and down the street?
I feel very safe.
How about in the subway? Do you go in the subway?
You know, I don't take them because I don't leave more than like
you're playing
12,
tennis with the Hiltons.
12 blocks. Well, I wasn't playing with them. I was using
their
court.
Oh, yeah, you didn't even say
using
hi
their court.
Right, yeah,
I was just using the court.
Good for you.
Do you – how's the business going?
Business is good. You know, we start – masks. We started as a mask company. My daughter and I, Allie, who you just met, started a company called Jill and Allie, and now we've pivoted into crystal manifestation candles. It's a big buzzword, the manifestation.
Uh-huh.
Next year, according to the futurists, that's going to be a big thing in all areas of commerce, manifestation.
What do we do? How do these things work?
Well, you know – they have really cute sayings on it, like Boss Babe or Good Luck Charm, and it has a stone that kind of goes with what – so, like, we have one about love, and it has a pink rose quartz, which is love in the stone world, to bring love to you. I mean, there's a whole
thing
about –
So it's just science.
Yeah, it's all science. You know, it's very important that people understand the meaning of each of your horoscope signs. It's supposed to make you feel good.
And what do they smell like? Do each one smell?
Each one's different. Right? Mm-hmm. So the rose one's obviously rose, but we have like grapefruit and santal and bamboo. And
but you're doing all the home goods too, right? Or are you still doing that?
So Jill and Allie is my daughter and I doing this business. And then I've had for years a rug business, my indoor-outdoor rug line, which Jill's Aaron Rugs, which has been a huge boom for me. And then I have a furniture line now that I'm selling.
Right.
And it's on Amazon and Wayfair and all those stores and Home Depot and stuff.
Chris, pull up some examples.
I need a new rug.
Do you?
I do.
Yeah, that's why, actually.
I'm going to go. What you want. You
all right, I'm going to get a rug.
And what do you think of Kathy Ireland? Skinny bitch or contemporary or colleague?
Genius. I mean, she was the first one to basically brand things that no one would brand. I mean, I don't know specifically, but like light switches she put her name on. I mean, she put her name on everything.
Smart. Yeah.
Very smart rugs. Businesswoman. She has over 500 licenses, I think.
Is everything in Thank all you. The rugs indoor, outdoor?
Half indoor and half are indoor outdoor. And the pricing is incredible. They start at $49 for a small one. And the largest one we have is like $399 for an outdoor and $499 for an indoor.
It's a good price for a rug.
It's a really – and they're
in the market for a rug.
So you know, I have my dog here, right, Bossy? So Bossy was the reason I started this line altogether was because she pees and poops all over my house.
Mm.
And I can't – I've tried.
And you don't have wee-wee pants?
She doesn't like them.
Hold on.
What?
Well, you know what she
Are
likes?
Are we talking about your daughter?
My dog.
Bossy. Okay. I was looking at the
rug. Her too. Allison too.
But she's back there and I got a rug.
What
so.
I found is she likes it.
Shit on the rug again.
I know. If I put the wee-wee pad on the rug, she might go on the wee-wee pad because she likes
got
to
it.
Have her feet soft.
Didn't
That's
you just tell me your
out.
Dog was great and well-trained moments ago when you're trying to smuggle it into my studio?
No, no. She,
carpeted studio.
She won't bark and misbehave.
But she'll just shit all over the place.
She'll shit on the table, but as long as there's a coaster.
Wait, you can ask Chris, right? When I came here, what was the first thing I did?
She took her out to pee.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So she's good for at least 2 hours.
If this is a friend and I was like, hey, Chris, I got my buddy Doug. I want to go out to dinner with us tonight. He's cool. He's not a big talker. We're going to be able to talk. He may shit on the table, but we're going to enjoy our steaks and our conversation.
But if you have Jill's Aaron rugs, which I'm happy to send you, you'll never have to worry because it comes out 100% every stain, including red wine, comes out.
That's
our rugs are stain proof.
Jeez, your dog drinks?
I
need that because what my dog does, he does not pee or poop anywhere in the house, but he yaks everywhere in the house. And if you took my dog, Phil, 110-pound lab.
And I've never heard of a lab that big.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going too long.
He's a big boy. If you took my dog, Phil, and you put him inside the Las Vegas Convention Center, which has 7,000 acres of concrete floor, and you put a 1-foot by 1-foot swatch of your carpet in the middle of the acreage of concrete, he would find it and throw up on that one postage stamp size piece of goddamn carpet.
Is it that green throw up?
It's whatever he ate is what he's barfing, but I got 7,300 feet of hardwood in my house and 8 square feet of carpet, and that's what he finds.
Okay. I'm going to send you rugs, and I promise you will be so happy.
Please.
I swear to you.
We'll see.
I had a $5,000 brand new rug in my bedroom when I renovated my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my other dog, my Chihuahua, and she threw up that green stuff on the corner, and I couldn't get it out of a wool rug.
Mm.
And I sent it out. It cost me $500 to get it cleaned. The guy delivers it. The stain is still not even 100% out, and she hits that spot again within 12 hours.
They know.
Wow.
And then I turned it. I had one turn on it, 90 degrees, to hide that corner.
Mm.
And the next day she did it again in the same corner. I literally ordered a rug. I had just started the rug business, and I threw out a $5,000 rug.
And
point in keeping it because she was just going to keep
that's
doing
where
it.
The indoor outdoor hits you, but even the indoor,
no, my indoor ones are all pet proof,
can absorb as much as your pet can throw at it.
A friend of mine had a flood in their apartment,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't home, and my carpet saved their floor.
Nice.
It absorbed it all. Yeah, it's really amazing. You'll see.
What's worse than pets?
Kids. We have a 5-year-old. She's very clumsy, as most, you know, 1 through 5-year-olds are. The food, dripping
this
food,
shoes,
you know what I mean?
It'll just come out.
On the playground.
The only thing that won't come out is marker. That's not meant to come out.
Sure.
Chris, how old are your kids?
My 6-year-old and 10-month-old. And then I have an 11-year-old stepson. My 6-year-old is wild with the markers.
Him, you can't let him have the ones that don't come out.
I don't know. I mean, whatever. She colors her tongue like she's out of her mind. I mean, even today, the nurse called me and was like, she got a marker. Somehow the marker got stuck on her lip. No, it was stuck on her lip. And I was like, what do you mean the marker stuck on her lip? She was like, the marker somehow got stuck on your daughter's lip and we're having trouble getting it off. And then her mom went down there and just fucking ripped it off her lower lip.
Do we have a
poor thing?
You were referencing your transgender nanny.
Yeah.
First off, how long before we have to stop using? We keep hearing things over here, Chris.
Is Canelic on?
Before we stop using the term nanny, which some woke douchebag is going to have a problem.
We can't say the word
nanny? Not yet.
Yeah.
We can say nanny.
I know. That sense, I can just like properly call her a tranny. She's transgender
nanny.
That's what it is.
That is absolutely correct.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's just tran nanny.
You see, if she calls herself that, then it's okay for everyone else to
call herself interesting.
That.
So it's my girlfriend's uncle, right? And he was in prison for 22 years.
This is a book. Or a movie.
No, I swear to God. Named T.T. Jerry. He's all over my Instagram. He's on my podcast. So T.T. Jerry comes out of jail 2 years ago. Came out of jail.
What was he in for?
He went in the 90s for like stealing cars and like stealing stuff and then kept getting time added on in prison because, you know, what she says, she was like, I was transgender like – right. Nobody was transgender. She was like, I was born this way, and I took a lot of shit for that in jail. But she did have good advice because I asked her once on the show. I said, if I was going to jail, honestly, what would you tell me to do? She goes, honestly, I would tell you to go trans immediately. Identify as trans immediately. I said, why? She was like, because when you're trans in prison, no, it's a lose-lose situation. If a guy fights you and beats the shit out of you, then he just beat up, you know, in more jail terms as a woman. And they don't like that. They're like, you're a woman beater. If you beat the shit out of him, then his respect is gone, even if he's the top guy. So they rarely fuck with trans people in prison. He goes, that's really why we have our own side of jail.
Hold on a second. Speaking of beating the shit out of people, Canelo Alvarez is on. Who
he's got the marker on the lip.
Going up against Dimitri Bivol.
I know.
And it's a light heavyweight battle. Good to see you, Canelo.
See you too. You want to beat someone?
Yeah, we'll have you beat someone later, but we'll save your energy for the fight. Light heavyweight, you've had a fight or two at light heavyweight, but that's a little heavier than you normally fight, correct?
Yeah, correct. But I like challenge, so that's why I'm here.
The fight's going on. It'll be a pay-per-view. That'll be at 8 p.m., and that'll be...
Tonight?
Let's see. It doesn't say Saturday. I'm guessing in Vegas.
Saturday.
The Zone. That's D-A-Z-N. And Dimitri, your opponent, is undefeated, I believe?
Yes.
Not for long.
He's undefeated. He's a really good fighter. He's a really good fighter, solid champion. Like 4 or 5 years ago, he was a champion in 175. And for me, he's the best in the division in 175. So that's why I'm challenging him.
How much thought do you give to this new world order where guys like Tyson, Holyfield, you got Floyd Mayweather? They're making all these great paydays, you know, after the retirement. You know, when you want to fight professionally at the highest level, there's an expiration date on that. You're 31. You're still in your prime. But, you know, most guys don't see 40 in certainly lighter divisions and keep fighting. But to know that there's a huge payday potentially out there when you're 43 years of age, you know, fighting Conor McGregor or one of the some you know, TikToker or YouTuber or something, is that going to make it easier to retire, or would you never engage in that activity?
Oh, you never know. I'm not looking for that kind of fights because I'm making history right now. I'm busy making my own legacy. But like you say, when I went 40 or something like that, why not? Maybe.
Is your only loss to Floyd Mayweather?
Yes.
Out of, 60 fights, pretty much. It's not too shabby. I mean, you really, you're only...
60.
Yeah, you got 60 fights. You got one loss to the guy who's pretty much the GOAT in terms of pound for pound. I don't know if there's an argument about that. I don't think so. I mean, Mayweather's undefeated.
Yeah.
Retired undefeated and pretty much has the mantle of greatest of all time, pound for pound, I guess, unless you're a big Willie Pep fan. I don't know. Who's your pound for pound?
He was a really good fighter. He good speed, good footwork. It's hard to hit. So, but I was, when I fought him, I was 23 years old. So I have no experience yet. Big stage. It was different. But I learned a lot. I learned a lot from that fight, and I take that fight I learned from that fight.
You feel like you could have beat him if you were 28 or 29?
Yeah, I need to wait a little more, like 2-3 years more. I need to fight first Miguel Angel Cotto, Lara, all that fighters, and then Floyd Mayweather. But now it's different. I'm in my prime, and I feel it was a different fight.
Who do you look at? Are there guys, like, what do you think of the current heavyweight divisions? Kind of exciting. Fighters?
It's a crazy thing, but I like the idea, of course, but it's a crazy thing. You never know.
How early you must have? I mean, if you got 60 fights and you're 31, did you what? How old were you when you had your first professional fight?
15 years old.
Damn.
Would you? And that was in Mexico.
Wow.
In Mexico, yeah.
Are you allowed to have a professional fight in the United States at 15, or do you have to
with your parents' permission? Yeah.
Wow. So just had a bar
when I was 15 years old, I had to go to the hospital because my psoriasis broke out so bad that I was like, it was bleeding all over, and I was like itchy, and you had a professional boxing fight.
Who are some of the guys that you've looked up to over the years or maybe modeled your style after?
When I start boxing, I watch Sugar Ray Robinson, Sugar Ray Leonard, Shane Mosley, Miguel Angel Cotto, Julio Cesar Chavez, Gilberto Roman, all of that fighters.
Yeah, Sugar Ray Robinson was not only a great boxer, but I think he was a great dancer as well.
Oh.
I think he had a whole like review.
Really?
Chris, you can look it up, but I think Sugar Ray
post fighting career or like concurrent? That's a fucking baller move.
Maybe both. Yeah, maybe post, but I think he had a whole like he moved so well
that he could dance.
Yeah, the guys you got to be careful of are the guys, you know, tough is great, resilient is great, hard punching is great. Yeah. But the real athletes.
Right.
You know, Floyd Mayweather, Sugar Ray Robinson, Sugar Ray Leonard, the guys who could really move.
Right.
Those, Roy Jones, the guys that were supreme athletes on top of being super tough. Those are have to be the toughest fights. Do you agree, Canelo?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That kind of fighter is difficult. It's difficult to hit and always make a really difficult fight.
I know there was some talk about your opponent, Dmitry, being Russian and people wanted to cancel or boycott or something. You know, whatever Russia's up to, I don't feel like we need to punish the athletes as well. And I think mm-hmm. you feel that way as well.
I feel the same thing. The athletes don't have anything to that, right? And we need to go forward and we do. So he have nothing to do with that thing. So
the fight that our connection's a little wanky.
I agree with you.
So I'll give a plug again. It's The Zone. It's pay per view. It's 8 p.m. It is coming up this Saturday. It's Las Vegas. It's light heavy, and let's watch Canelo claim another strap. Good to see you, Canelo Alvarez, and good luck. By the way, Saturday night.
Thank you.
There
thank
he
you.
Is.
Thank you. Man.
Stupid internet. All right, we can watch. We have Sugar Ray Robinson
dancing
with Gene Kelly.
Holy shit!
Whoa!
I told you he could dance.
Oh my god!
That motherfucker's holding his own.
And he's short.
Watch, you're gonna start boxing.
Wow. Not just dancing, he's a tap dancer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole nother art.
It's goddamn impressive.
Yeah, it's
I could
hard.
Tell you the guy could move, and that was what he took that into the ring. Yeah, I mean, you can't tell the difference between him and Gene Kelly.
I know.
In terms of, is he going to tap a little?
Well, if you know what you're looking at, you can tell it. Every, I
don't know. One's white.
I don't know.
I don't know. I think he's better.
You think Sugar Ray's better?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Gene Kelly took a lot of shots at this point.
I'm looking at him more than I am Gene Kelly.
Are you
trying? He's more engaging. No, right. He's just more engaging. He's more dramatic.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you.
It's really insulting.
Well, Alvarez is a great athlete. He's one of the best boxers of all time. I've put him in that category of great movers and stuff.
Yeah.
Could have brought that up when he was on.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say something. Then it fucking freezes again, and I'm just like an idiot. Just sitting in a bomb.
All right. Let me hit a spot here, namely Simply Safe. All right. Amy's a chronic sleepwalker who lives near a four-lane highway, so that's not a good sign. And months ago, just a couple months ago, she was sleepwalking once again, and she was going right out the front door. But Simply Safe's entry sensor on her front door was triggered with a 95-decibel siren
wow.
in the base station, and it woke her up before she wandered out into the streets with all the traffic and God knows what else. Amy says Simply Safe saved her life. Great company, great product. Batteries last up to 10 years. Peel and stick. You don't have to pull wires and drill holes and make a mess. Backed by the best 24/7 protection monitoring there is in the business. Less than a buck a day, no long-term contracts, and you can try it out for free and see if you like it. You customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplysafe.com/Adam. Go there today and get a free security camera plus 20% off interactive monitoring at simplysafe.com/Adam. All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back with Chris and Jill right after this.
Stream the biggest movies and TV shows for free on Pluto TV. Watch movies like Titanic and G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra, plus TV shows like CSI and Star Trek The Next Generation. Starting this month, check out the 24/7 Stargate channel exclusively on Pluto TV, plus hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows absolutely free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today.
So this guy, Ryan, was his name. And he doesn't know a thing about me. Just starts attacking. He's like, I bet you've never even met a Latina person, Chris. That's why the tweet's offensive. I bet you don't know one Latina person. And that's what's sad. Get out there and meet some Latinas. I was like, you don't think I know one Latina person? Really? That's interesting. Because my daughter's next to me doing Zumba right now. Just juggling empanadas for no reason, okay? This is my life, all right? The baby's first words were Daddy Yankee. So.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Speshy Weshy is the name of the special. It's streaming on Netflix as we speak. I think it's, is it 36, 38 minutes? I'm trying to think how
yeah,
long
it's 30, it is. It's 30, like 37 minutes. I wanted to do
a
shorter version of, well, Netflix wanted it too. They want to like experiment with like shorter stuff because, you know, even like great, you know, the greatest comedians of all time, I just feel like an hour now is just so long for people to ask you to just pay attention to me for 1 hour and not look at your phone. It's like an impossible task because you can bop in and out of music, you know, but comedy, it's like you have to pay attention to every word or you miss the joke. And that it's just like it's too much, I think, to go up there and do. I mean, I'll do it. I do an hour live. But for the Netflix thing, I was like, no, let's do a shorter one. Okay. But we'll see. So far,
so how many minutes is it?
It's 38 minutes. But I don't even know. The thing is with Netflix, you don't even know how it's doing. I have no idea.
Well,
probably
we were talking about this earlier in the week.
Yeah, listen, that clip,
no, it's really good.
Sucked.
I watched it last night on Netflix.
Myself.
Everyone hates watching you.
Just, take it off themselves. Netflix. I literally can't. They were like, do you want to have a viewing party? I was like, are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
A view? No. I want to run away and die.
Did you? How long ago did you see it when it was cut? Obviously, you did it.
No, so what happened was is I filmed it. We've filmed it March 5th at the Gramercy, and it's, you know, whatever it is, May 6th. I was trying to get a special HBO, Netflix, Amazon, wherever. Everybody was saying, no, you know, we're not looking for this or whatever it was. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to make my own special then. I paid for the whole thing, produced it. I was selling no tickets in Cleveland, so I canceled Cleveland, and I was like, let's just go to New York and film this special, and I'm going to put it out on YouTube. I was like, you know, my career only really started to begin when I started to do the route of no corporate, no TV, just Patreon, podcasts, internet. I was like, I put my career in the hands of my fans, and then I'm starting to sell tickets and do all this. So I was like, that's what I'm going to do on YouTube. And then we filmed it, made it. Showed it to my agent, and he was like, why don't I just send this to Netflix, though, or at least send it around? At least, like, you gave them a product now and see what they say. And then they bought it. They were like, okay, well, we'll take it as is on this. And I was very adamant. I was like, you have to let me, A, put some of it on YouTube, which they have allowed me to, and B, no notes. Like, I don't want to – no changes because – not that I don't need Netflix. Of course, it's, like, great to have it, but – with the way that my career is now with podcasting and Patreon and ticket sales, I'm like, I've been doing all this with zero TV. And, you know, you almost like sell more tickets than the guys who are leaning into TV because the dirty secret is that's all smoke and mirrors now where it's like nobody watches that shit anymore. I mean, they do, but my generation, they don't. My generation is either you have a podcast and you can sell tickets in comedy or you don't have a podcast and you don't sell any tickets. you know, that, or unless you're grandfathered in. So that's what this special was, is just my own no notes. Me and my guy who runs all my podcasts, Mike Lavin, the homeless pimp, he directed it and we put it out.
You just went real fast over the homeless pimp.
That's his name on Instagram, the homeless pimp. But he's like a one-stop shop. He's an editor. He's like, you know, this, you know, how, what you guys have, but I only have, I can only afford to pay one guy right now.
The homeless pimp.
Yeah,
did,
yeah.
Did you want it to be 38 minutes? Did they pare it down?
No.
Or did it matter?
I had done, like, I did whatever it was, an hour and 5 minutes or whatever, and then I personally edited it down because what I wanted was I was going to put these 45 minutes is what I was going to put on YouTube, and then the other 20 minutes I was going to put on my Patreon only mm-hmm. as like a special for the Patreon members or, you know, to get new people to come onto the Patreon, and that was the plan. And then out of the 45 minutes, there was a couple of bits that when I saw them, I was like, these aren't really as worked out as I want. And I figured, let me keep these 7-8 minutes back and have a little bit of springboard for the new material. So I took that out. And then what I handed them, Netflix, was the exact 38 minutes that I wanted. And they were okay with that. They were like, we actually have been wanting to experiment with shorter specials mm-hmm. and see how that helps our algorithm and all that. So I was like, all right.
Chill, you ever think about doing stand-up?
No. But I really respect comedians, and I think it's a really hard job. And I feel so sorry for them right now because of this whole woke thing. But I was just going to write down a question to ask you, which now I forgot the question. No. But it has to do with so you have this fan base and you have Patreon mm-hmm. because really you're saying things that people want to hear, but you're not allowed to say it on television because they'll cancel you. So like there's a demand for people telling the truth. Like people want to hear like what you have to say without being edited.
Yeah, like I'm just – I've always thought, like, you can't be funny and hateful, you know? Like, there's no way, like, Hitler was funny because he was too hateful, you know? Like, so
you
it's
hear
like,
that, Adam?
That's what it is. I mean, maybe, I don't know, in his private
time,
he
Hitler was funny.
Yeah, I heard he was a good
prop comedian.
He was a prop comic. I don't know. Yeah, I think just doing this route, this podcast route, is just better for
well,
comedy
you
right
know,
now.
There's a hunger for it because the fans are buying it. They're buying tickets.
They are. Seems like it.
I think you can have an act where you seem kind of hateful, like, I don't know, Lewis Black or somebody
right.
like that, where it's like, you know what I mean?
The but angry comic.
We can't think that's who you are.
Right.
That's really kind of what it is. You can say whatever you want. You know, I always say I can act like an asshole and I can say asinine things because I'm not an asshole,
right.
But if they think that's who you are, then they're strong.
Yeah, and it's also, I think, like, you know, when you go down the road of, listen, I want to do TV and film and all that stuff, but I had to start doing it the other way because I wasn't getting, you know, I would either get fired. Every time I got the opportunity, I'd get fired, or if I, you know, had a joke that swung too hard or whatever, or I just wouldn't get the part. It would go to somebody else. So I was like, well, I have little kids. Like, I was like, I have to just do this on my own. So I would like to do TV and film, but to be honest with you, I did a TV show last year and I hosted it and it was fine. And I was like, I hate this. Like, this is three months of now me in a box.
Scripted?
It was called Backyard Bar Wars. It was like on True TV, like where I fucking was out there with a drill, like making bars in some idiot's backyard trying to make jokes. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
you love making things.
I love doing that.
No,
I could do that.
Yeah, you should have given it to Adam. He loves to make things, right? I asked you if you built the table. You didn't
build
the table.
Bequeath things to other people, you know, yeah. for hosting jobs. Yes, yeah. I'm a carpenter, Jill.
That was my
old profession.
But I remembered that.
Can we talk about the Countess for a moment?
Absolutely.
Does she ever speak of me?
Did you have a relationship together?
No, I just sort of fawned from afar.
I'm seeing her next Wednesday. We're getting our eyebrows done together.
Could you bring me up?
Absolutely.
Like Chris, who doesn't know, explain who the Countess is.
Oh, so Luanda Lesseps, she was married to a count, literally married to a man who was a count mm-hmm. and had two children. And when she got on The Real Housewives of New York 12 years ago, they got divorced. So, she kept the title. And then she married someone in between for about a year. Mm. So she legally lost her title. But when she got divorced, she took it back anyway, even though she's not supposed to. But she took it back anyway.
It's like Muhammad Ali. He had the belt, and the Vietnam War came up, and then they stripped him, and then he came back.
But he always had the belt, and he kept the belt. Good. So mm-hmm. anyway, so she's had a rough year.
Oh, really?
Have you followed her story?
No.
So she, on the show, no. She had a rough year. She was drinking. She wasn't drinking. She was drinking. She wasn't drinking. And she
I like the
fell
drinking
off.
Version.
Well, she's more fun. She's a fun, you know, there's a happy drunk and a mean drunk. She's mm-hmm. definitely on the happy side.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so she had a really rough night. She had drank too much, and now she's not drinking right now, and she feels a lot better. And she's doing her show. She's, you know, she sells out 3,000 tickets.
I mean, really?
It's serious. Yeah, she's doing phenomenal. And I went to see her show 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. What does she do?
Great. She does a cabaret show, and she entertains you. And mm-hmm. she's not like a self-proclaimed Barbra Streisand singer. Mm-hmm. She can sing okay, but it's all the act. And
oh, good.
She talks about her real life, and she's self-deprecating. She talks about all – it's almost like she needs something bad to happen so that she has her next show.
You guys
show.
Are getting together to get your brows done?
Yeah. She found – she's got someone who wants to do my
eyebrows. You guys thread them? How do you – what do you do?
Well, I don't know. I think this girl does – I forgot what they call it. With like – not tattoo. I've never done it. There's a word for it where they kind of I don't know. I don't know.
I just shave my unibrow with like a mock, like with a razor.
Yeah. The eyebrows are very important to your face.
For men?
They are.
Yeah.
For everyone. People don't realize it, but it is.
I shaved my eyebrows off once when I was like 17, 18.
No.
Yeah, just like,
you're
you know,
lucky they
I shaved.
Back.
It was crazy. I looked fucking insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is weird how insane you can look without eyebrows.
Yeah.
And or a little hair coming out of the nose and the ears, then you're another kind of insane.
That's from taking too much estrogen. If you take too much estrogen, all this hair starts growing on you.
How does the Patreon thing work?
So, patreon.com/ChristyComedy. How it works is I have put out one episode a week on YouTube on Tuesdays, and then on Fridays is the Patreon episode. So it's kind of billed as like on YouTube, you know, you still have to be somewhat in a box a little bit because, you know, an ad sponsor can take something away. This episode gets demonetized, whatever. But Patreon is like do whatever we want, play videos, listen to music. Like nothing gets ripped down by YouTube. It's just
direct to consumer.
Direct to consumer, exactly. And that's
And Patreon – wets their beak for like a percentage?
Percentage. They take 3%. But if you started a Patreon now.
That's very reasonable.
Might take 5 or 10%. You know,
no, but even that's reasonable. So if someone pays $5, how much do you charge? $5, $10?
There's a $5 tier, a $10 tier. There's a $25 tier and a $100 tier.
The $100, what do you get for $100?
The $100 tier, we say in the description, like, you're a fucking absolute asshole if you get this. But if you want to get it and be a dummy, then there's nothing else you get. You just give $100 and you're just like a super fan. But we're like literally do nothing for you, just spending $100. And that has quite a few people.
No, but you could say, you know, I'll follow you on Instagram. I mean,
I'm not going to do any of that.
Is I hear Patreon talked about
how much
a
would
lot.
It cost to follow for you to follow someone.
No, I mean it's not even a cost. It's just like I don't want to follow.
What if someone gave you an indoor outdoor rug? Would that be enough
for a follow?
Yeah, it would be enough for a follow. 100%. Oh, okay.
You follow me? You got it.
100% indoor outdoor.
If Patreon must be huge. I mean, it must be a huge company, right?
Yeah, and at least. You know, my, I guess, class, if you will, that is starting to get some life now, they're all on Patreon. It's like, it's just a thing that, you know, the business changes all the time, Mike, right? Like, you have to adjust. And it's just right now, and I'm aware that it may not be this way forever, but right now it's podcasting. And from guys like me, it's the Patreon is the way to go because at least we're almost like it's our safety net. It's like, you know, Shane Gillis, perfect example. Guy gets canceled on whatever, SNL for a bullshit thing or whatever. And then his Patreon, I mean, he makes more money than anybody on that cast.
One of the girls from Vanderpump Rules, she got in trouble for something. She just had a baby. I forgot her name. And she has a huge following getting paid because of that. People want to hear what she has to say.
It's here's the way kind of business works and commerce works and the free market works. You can't just sort of cancel people that are potential earners with followers and viewers and everything else and not expect some other company to slide in and go, hey, we can start wetting our beaks and hammering checks. Yeah. We see it all over the place now.
Yeah.
We have this one big group that decided they were going to be sort of the opinion police and start canceling everybody. And they have given birth to all these alternative platforms, which they are now the greatest gift you could give to, and we kind of talk about all the time, like the greatest gift you could give, you know, Twitter could give to these alternative platforms is canceling people that were popular on Twitter because they're not going to die. They're not done earning. No. Many of them are young, and they're just going to go somewhere else.
Joe Rogan, didn't someone on Shopify left Shopify because he said something, and now he's got so many more followers because of it?
We on Spotify?
Or Shopify is where you get the rugs.
That's no,
where you
get that's the rugs. Spotify. Spotify.
Spotify.
Yeah.
Spotify.
Chris. Wasn't the rugs are Shopify.
Right. No, this is Spotify. A famous singer.
Neil Young.
Neil Young.
Said he was going to do it. Like, I don't know, Joni Mitchell.
Yeah.
And then at a certain
point. Now he's much bigger.
Yeah, the commerce.
That's my point.
The commerce kicks in.
Yeah.
And then they start defending the person that is saying the things that would have got him canceled. Because ultimately, everyone wants to make money at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like, you know, definitely the money for sure. But it's also like I have the most fun on Patreon as a comic. Because
right,
I'm like
free.
Completely
free.
Unhinged, free, whatever. And again, I'm not going to come from a hateful place, but it's like I want to be able to make it, you know, step up to the line or cross it a little bit as what I think comics should do. And I could just do that freely on Patreon. And but to be honest, even now, I think companies are seeing where the money is in this stuff, the podcasting. So I even feel like the ad people are a little bit more lenient on like what you – like a company – I had one of my – you know, real – Brooklyn friends, one guy called into my pod and he was like, you know, using like, you know, like he was saying like fag a lot on the show. And I was like, he wasn't me. He was like calling me that. And that's just how he talks or whatever. And this one company got all bent out of shape and they're like, we're going to take your ads off. And if you don't delete this episode, I was like, I'll never delete it. And instead, I just went on the next episode
to talk
and,
about it
and just called that company. I was like, can you believe this? Off freaking Tommy Blue Eyes, who everybody on the show loves. They're thinking that he's a homophobe, blah, blah, blah. And then another sponsor
You're telling me that Butt Plugs and Beyond dropped their sponsorship of the show?
Yeah.
People are so sensitive.
Yeah.
Well, if they're listening, we'll sign them up here.
Sign them up, baby. And then some other sponsor was like, you know what? We're going to re-up you for twice. We're free speech, and that was bullshit of them. And
right.
It worked out, you know? So it was like, whatever, then let the other company leave.
How is YouTube compared to Patreon in terms of
YouTube
earnings?
Is, for me at least, YouTube is the way – YouTube goes out to the masses. That's the one that I hope to get all these views on because Patreon is small.
Right.
But you try to get people into the Patreon by giving out – you know, you give it out for free and then try to get it – That's the plan.
No, but it's for free giving it out, but do you earn – like is it decent money on YouTube?
Yeah, because that's where the ads go and that's where it gets monetized, you know. And I still have a relatively small, you know, platform, but it's lucrative, you know. Like my friends who have way bigger platforms are like, you know, these guys are making obscene money. And
well,
girls.
I talk about this all the time. It's been going on for a while. I sort of learned it years ago when we were doing the podcast, which is – I think the old model used to be everyone wanted that share and the demo, and we got 39 million people watched the Dukes of Hazzard on Friday night on ABC,
and now it's like
you basically just need 100,000 people you can extort on a daily basis, and you sell them a ticket, you sell them a T-shirt, they sign up for Patreon, they go to your YouTube page, whatever. That's it. You just
need a conversion.
You need this little army of people that
love
dig
you.
Your shit and buy the tickets and show up at the shows. And then everyone needs their own little army. And if it's a little bigger, you do better. But it's like you don't need a 36 share of America or anything
doesn't
like that.
I was going to say, I don't even think if you went for that, I don't even think it's possible anymore. I think now just the niche stuff is possible. Like for me, it's like I'm happy that I can spend all this time with my daughters, give them a good life, and like relatively maintain my anonymity. Whereas if I was, you know, selling the tickets I was selling or making the money I was making 15 years ago, I would only be able to get that if I was on a sitcom and relatively well known. And then you lose all your privacy. I don't have to deal with that. But yet, you know, I'm doing well.
How did you start in terms of your career?
Because I had a pilot for CBS that failed. I got fired from Netflix. I kept getting fired from all the TV corporate stuff. So I said,
that's the best thing that ever happened to you.
Yeah, it was like my girlfriend was pregnant with my first daughter at the time. We had nothing. I just had gotten a CBS pilot that we were working on for a year. And we thought, you know, Les Moonves told me I was going to be the next Ray Romano and blah, 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 blah. And then it just goes away like that. And then I'm like, well, now what? So then I started doing the podcast and leaning into that and just saying, I need fans. How do I get fans?
How do you get them to start? When you're a comedian starting out, how do you start getting that? I don't know. How do you start?
I just started I just fucking put the mic on and just started doing a podcast.
You
know,
people find you.
Yeah, I just was promoting it on my social medias, and little by little, it it just starts to grow. You get on your peers' podcasts, you know. Well, Adam, you were one of the first guys. I mean, you and Rogan were, I feel like, were the first big ones to start to be like, oh, wow, this is really...
He's a funny guy. You should watch him.
Adam was probably one of the first ones, at least, that my peers were like, oh, wow.
I just did it because I like talking.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. Just turn on the mic and start chatting.
It's just a new radio show. It's just a new way. I used to go on the Opie and Anthony show when I first started, and that podcast wasn't available then, but that was where all the stuff was. Now it's like... you go on a podcast and it's the same thing.
Yeah. It's pretty much you're just putting your ideas into people's heads.
Yeah.
And when people say, what do you want to do? I just go, I want to put my idea in their head. And so you can do that with a podcast. You can do it with a book. You can do it with stand-up. Mm-hmm. You can do it with a sitcom.
Yeah.
Although there are rules with the sitcom.
Well, it is a shortcut, right? So having a television show is a shortcut to getting fans, to getting that start.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to have some base to build off. I built my base off of terrestrial radio, so I was doing...
You had a show with Dr. Drew, too, on TV.
That's true. Right? Big Loveline? Show, yeah.
But you were that little show. That little show, that's what you became world famous.
But that's when those mediums were the thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, TV was big back then. I mean, not that it's small. It's still something, but I don't think there's an argument that it's not as big as it was.
Oh, it's not as big.
You know,
as well.
But it's still something. I don't want to say
TV. No, we were on MTV, and you'd get recognized everywhere you went just from being on MTV at midnight.
Yeah.
And the commercials.
That world doesn't exist anymore.
But I remember when they started, I don't know if the right word is like cheating on the ratings, because it used to be live ratings. That was what you would hear about. You know, last night you had, like you said, 36 million. And then when the ratings were going down so fast they couldn't even keep up for the advertisers, so then they did this thing called +3. So it was live +3, and they were comparing that to last year live. So, of course, the ratings were going up.
So +3, like there were three nights in your room?
Three nights, sorry. So if you aired on Monday, the ratings wouldn't come out until like Friday, and they probably do it today, because they would add the ratings for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday together. And that's the – because they feel that because people recorded it on TiVo and DVR that they're not watching it immediately.
Oh,
but they're
right.
Going to watch it within the next –
that actually makes sense.
No. And it is fair, because that's the way people's views change. But then when they were comparing that to last year one night but not telling anybody really, it looked like the ratings were going up.
Well,
and actually television was going down.
Look, we would do Arbitron diaries when I was in radio. The people had a diary and they had a golf pencil.
They still have it for the ones at home.
I don't think they have Arbitron anymore.
Portable people meter.
Yeah, they went to this other thing where it's like
you basically wear like a tracker.
Recording advice.
That's for radio, but I'm saying television, they still do the diary.
Nielsen still does the diary?
Because I know someone who's in Nielsen house.
Oh.
Wow. They still do a diary. And that's why Nielsen's are,
Yeah. So they used to, but the rallies now is whatever the book says, whatever the PP, personal people, or the Arbitron diary, it's like how many people sign up for your Patreon, how many people buy a ticket to your show, how many people order a t-shirt. All right. Let me hit LifeLock here. An identity thief needs for a shopping scam is your name, mailing address, email, and phone number. With that, they can start an online store account with their own shipping info. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put our info at risk on the internet. In an instant, cyber criminals could harm your finances and your credit. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they will send you an alert, and you'll have access to a dedicated restoration specialist if you become a victim. It's LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code ADAM. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to lifelock.com. Use promo code ADAM for 25% off.
Hey, Chris, Chris has been in before, Chris DiStefano, but Chris, we had Dr. DiStefano's anal discount emporium, which we must have played last time you were here.
Did we? I don't remember that. No.
I think you would have remembered it. It was a man show bit I did a million years ago called, oh, it was Dr. Stefano, not DiStefano.
That's right. Yeah, it was okay. Dr. Stefano.
But every time I hear your name, I think of Dr. Stefano, Discount Anal Emporium, which was a man show bit. Probably something you couldn't do today under that
more,
department.
More for a niche audience.
And I'd spring it on Chris in the last second, but you can probably.
I'll Google it.
We played it before. We'll see if we can find it.
See, that's a good Patreon bit.
Yeah. Right there.
Yes.
That's the perfect Patreon bit to bring back.
Dr. Stefano's
Discount
Anal Emporium.
You would do that on Patreon? They go crazy for that. I mean, well, you don't need it, but if you did, that's what it is.
Jill knows retail, so she'll probably appreciate it. Oh, here it is. This is Dr. Stefano.
Hello. I'm proctologist Dr. Carl Stefano. I've been in practice for over 20 years, surgically removing the stuff that people put up their butts for a thrill. You may ask, where does all this quality merchandise go?
Dr. Stefano's Anal Emporium! I've got miles and miles of quality merchandise at Rock. Aerosol deodorant. Leading store price, $3.49. Dr. Stefano's discount price, 59 cents. Light bulb, 3-pack. Leading store price, $2.99. My discount price, just 49 cents. Declawed gerbil. Pet store price, over $10 a pound. Dr. Stefano's discount price, $4.49. The competition's prices are astronomical. My price is astronomical. Right, little fella. Looking for rock bottom prices on carrots, cucumbers, and zucchinis? Then don't forget to check out our produce section. We've got freshness you can smell.
Oh my god.
And taste. Also, look for big savings on football, toothbrush, traffic cone, two figure, travel mug, and graduation cap and gown. If you like quality merchandise, you love to save money, and you don't mind stuff that's been in another person's ass, then come on down to Dr. Stefano's Anal Emporium. We got rock bottom prices.
Rock bottom prices in San Francisco, West Hollywood, and our newest store in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Classic.
That's hysterical.
Classic.
That's so
Dr.
great.
Dr. Stefano.
The set
that
designer.
Is so great.
The set designer really worked
I think
money.
We filmed
you
that
a lot of
at,
work in
at
that.
The 99 cent store in Hollywood.
Oh, my God.
Like, we got there, like, 2 hours before
sure.
they opened.
Someone
ought to
get
this film. $500.
So was that on YouTube?
It was on The Man Show. I don't know.
So when was that, like early 2000s or was that in the 90s?
That was, I seem to recall it was one of the later bits I did. So it probably would have been like 02, 01,
wow.
02,
wow.
Or something
99
like that.
02.
Okay.
All right. Well, Dr. Chris DiStefano is
there you go.
Got a stand-up special called Speshy Weshy, and it's available right now on Netflix. He's got live dates coming up all over the place. He's got them in Red Bank, New Jersey, Austin, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona. And you go to Chris D Comedy to find out all about his dates in the podcast. Chrissy Chaos and Hey Babe is available wherever you find finer podcasts. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll say goodbye to Chris and we'll hang out. We'll do some news a little later as well with Jill right after this.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.